We need your living word.
Amen.
Pray you would anoint your word this morning.
Amen.
Thank you for the book of Romans.
Amen.
Lord, even we've been on this chapter for a month.
Amen.
We believe you have something fresh for us.
Amen.
Something new for us.
Amen.
Something so applicable.
Amen.
That we could practice day by day.
Amen.
Thank you for our spirit.
Amen.
Lord, flow out this morning.
Amen.
And all the saints. O Lord, and we give you the sixth graders today.
Amen.
Give their baptism to you.
Amen.
Pray they would really touch you.
Amen.
They would know how real you are.
Amen.
Thank you, you're living in them.
Amen.
Pray they would experience Christ living in them.
Amen.
In your precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. This morning we're still on Romans chapter 8.
Amen.
I think we've been on this chapter for about a month. So I hope you're not getting tired of this chapter. This book is very foundational. The book of Romans is very foundational. But I want to bring this point out. It is not elementary. It is very basic. It is fundamental. It's foundational. But it is not elementary. You know, we all went to elementary school and we graduated. We never graduate from the book of Romans. And we never graduate from this chapter of Romans. All the things here may be very basic, but they're very necessary for our Christian life. And they're very necessary for our experience of God's dynamic salvation. So I'm thankful that we could spend a little time in this chapter of the book of Romans. Now, at the beginning, I would like to kind of outline what my burden is so that hopefully I can do it in time for the... We still have the sixth graders to be baptized today. So that means we will stay together for the prophesying time, and then they will come a little later and give their testimonies and we can witness their baptism. We had a marvelous visit, and as Brother James introduced Paul Wu and Andrew Yu, who came on Monday night to fellowship with the church here, he introduced them in a very sweet way. These are our friends from afar. Our friends from afar. And we're so happy that they could be with us and we could see them face to face. Many of you who went to Taiwan for the international conference saw them there, but in that stadium of 25,000 people, I don't think you saw them very close up. But here they were only this far away, so we got a close-up look at them. And I'm not going to repeat what they shared on Monday night, but I do want to emphasize a couple of points. First, at the beginning of what Brother Wu shared, Paul Wu shared, and then at the end something that Brother Andrew shared. So I try to do that if I can. Brother Wu had a very sweet burden on our living in the church life. And he emphasized this point that in the church life, we must be vital. We must have the supply of life. We need to be living to live the church life. And in that context, he mentioned a few very precious points. Of course, we need to spend time in the Word with the Lord every day. And he also mentioned we need to pray a lot every day. And we need to pray with companions. And I thought this point is very practical. And all of us need this. Not just one companion. He mentioned we at least should have two other companions. So that if I'm down today, my companions won't be down today. They can help lift me up. Maybe two of us are down. But rarely will all three of us be down in the same day. We have vital companions to help us to what? Enjoy God. To help us to enjoy the Lord, to be filled with the Lord, to get to our spirit, and to live in our spirit. This is one of the precious things he mentioned. And, you know, he also testified, he grew up in the church life, and that he has his life in the church life. And I was convicted by this and struck by this. We need to have our life in the church life. We don't just come to the meeting for ourselves and for our own enjoyment. We must come for one another. And we must look around at one another and care for one another and minister life to one another because we are members one of another. The church life is a reality, and it's a precious place. There's a lot of salvation here to be experienced, but it is a corporate living. It is a corporate pursuing of Christ together, a corporate enjoyment of Christ together, and an encouragement of one another to pursue the Lord together. So I thought this was very, very practical. And praise the Lord. This is actually just a normal church life. And at the end, he had a strong burden for the gospel. And he mentioned to us many details about the church in Taipei and their burden for the gospel. And I feel this was a real strengthening to us. I know that the burden for the gospel in the church here has been growing and increasing. And we really appreciate all the encouragement of all the different saints to preach the gospel and to not to just keep what we've enjoyed to ourselves, but to share it with others. So this year, as the brothers have told us, 2015 is a year of advancement and enlargement. Amen. Surely this has to do with the gospel. Amen. And he mentioned, you know, when we preach the gospel, even just giving out a tract, we are the first ones to get saved. Amen. And that's so true. If you have any little experience, you realize, even sometimes we're so nervous to give out the tracts. You know, in the Summer School of Truth, we always have this practice. We help the young people to go preach the gospel. In New Jersey, we send them out. Here in New York, we send them out. Sometimes they go on the subway to preach the gospel. And many times, going out, they're very nervous. They're very afraid. But once they hand out that first tract, once they talk to somebody, they come back rejoicing. Amen. They come back living. Amen. And infused with the Lord. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God. Amen. So as many of you know, we will have a gospel meeting in the Spanish language on March 21st this month, an English gospel meeting on the 18th of next month in April, and we have a Chinese-speaking gospel meeting the first Saturday of every month. Amen. Praise the Lord! Amen. We need to advance in the gospel. Brooklyn also, on the 21st of this month, will have a gospel meeting, so we can prepare for that and pray for that particularly. Amen. So I felt this was very practical fellowship for all of us to live a life with companions in the church life. We need a small group meeting. If you don't have a small group meeting that you're going to and you'd like to join one, just come and see any of the serving brothers or sisters. We will find one near you, or else we will start one in your home. And we'll have a small group meeting for you to enjoy the Lord, either during the week or on Saturday night if you don't have a meeting on Saturday night. Anyway, whatever time is best for you, we the saints will join you to enjoy the Lord together and to pursue the Lord together in the church life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, maybe I just give this last little word. I went to Taiwan in 1998. Sorry, that's a long time ago. I want to go again. But if you haven't been, I would encourage you, go visit the churches in Taiwan. You will be infused with more of God, and the blending will really help us. Now, this week we're on Romans 8. Related to this, we had a little title in our morning watch sheet. The divine spirit mingled with our human spirit, the secret of God's organic salvation. So this morning, we are on the two spirits. And for those of you who serve the summer school, you know, this is one book of the six topics for the 6 years of the Summer School of Truth. That is the two spirits, the divine spirit and the human spirit. And the verses we read at the beginning of the meeting are the three verses in the New Testament which mentions all both spirits in the same verse. Now, I'm going to recite them to you backwards. I think we have them here. But most of the time we recite them from John 3 to John 4 to Romans 8 in the order of the New Testament. John 3 says, when we were born of God, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, right? Let's repeat the last half. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Here you have the two spirits. That which is born of the divine spirit, that's God the Spirit, is spirit. That's our human spirit. This verse makes it very clear. When we were regenerated, we received God into our human spirit. This is a marvelous fact. Then let's read John 4:24 together. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship spirit and truthfulness.
Sorry to interrupt. There is a car blocking a neighbor's driveway. A neighbor wants to call the cop. It's a New Jersey plate red Mercedes 474118N. It's yours. Please move it. Otherwise, the cop will throw it away.
This verse is very clear. God is spirit.
Amen.
And he has a desire. He wants us to worship him. But very particularly, we must worship him in spirit and in truthfulness. We have a human spirit. We have an organ. We have a capacity in our inward being. And I can't tell you where our human spirit is, but it's somewhere in the midst of our being. And we have a capacity to worship God and to serve God and to contact God. In John 3, to receive God. We have a human spirit. This is one of the most crucial truths in the entire New Testament. Let's read Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. This verse is the most clear because it mentions our spirit. The Spirit himself, that is God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. And we covered this verse a couple of weeks ago. We shared on children, sons, and heirs. But this is a very crucial verse in the New Testament, showing us that in this universe, there are two spirits. And we have to know these two spirits in order for us to experience God's dynamic salvation, in order for us to apply God's dynamic salvation, for us to receive all the elements of God's dynamic salvation, we need to know the two spirits. That's why we have a whole summer. We spend a whole one summer school of truth on this topic, the divine spirit and the human spirit. Now, I want to cover the importance of the human spirit next. So if we could have the verses on Zechariah 12:1 and Job 32:8 and Proverbs 20:27. These verses help us to see how important our human spirit is. Let's read Zechariah 12:1 first. The burden of the word of Jehovah concerning Israel. Thus declares Jehovah, this is a marvelous verse. You know, when I mentioned in the beginning, this book is elementary. It's not elementary. It's foundational, but not elementary. What we're talking about this morning, I think everybody in this room already knows. The danger is, because we know it, we think it's not fresh to us. And I just was considering my experience. When I first found out that I had a human spirit, I was beside myself. It really changed my life. And it's still fresh to me today. We have a human spirit. And we can contact God with our spirit. So I hope that this is still fresh to you. It's still real to you. And not just something, oh yeah, I heard that, been there, done that. No. We need to appreciate our human spirit. And this verse tells us the importance of our spirit. God, the burden of the word of the Lord, who stretched forth the heavens. What a tremendous thing. And laid the foundation of the earth. And then, the heavens are for the earth to be here, right? Without the heavens, you can't have the earth. And then, the earth is there for man. But specifically for a very particular part of man. For the spirit of man, right? He lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. I don't know, when I first saw this verse, and even today, I'm impressed by this. God's goal is the human spirit. And everything he does has this goal in view. In his creation, the view is man's spirit. In his laying the foundation of the earth, his goal is, his desire is, the man's spirit. Because he wants to enter into man's spirit. He created us with a spirit so that He has a dwelling place, so that He has a place to come in, to enter in, and a place from which to spread to all the parts of our soul. And maybe, brothers, you could put that graphic up of the three circles. Do you remember the first time you saw these three circles? I remember the first time I saw this. Brother Lee was giving a message, and I was there. And when I saw this and I heard this, I was like, I never knew I had a human spirit before. Never knew. I knew, of course, I had a body. I knew I would have a soul. But I never heard, I never knew that I had a human spirit. And I never knew that when I was saved, God came into my human spirit, and now Christ lives in me.
Amen.
We sang that hymn this morning, 507. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ lives in me.
Amen.
Our salvation is a person, and that person is living in us. Anyway, let me come back to this story. So I was in this meeting. It was a training meeting. And after the meeting, I was just like, ah, I can't believe this, I can't believe this. And the three circles were still on the board, you know, on the blackboard at the end of the meeting. And so I was in the back of the meeting. There were probably 3,000 people in that training meeting. And this brother came up to me and he was pointing to the three circles and saying, oh, it's a... In German, he was telling me how wonderful these three circles were. I don't speak German. So I was telling him how wonderful I enjoyed these three circles in English. He spoke not a word of English. But we two had about 10 or 15 minutes of very sweet fellowship in two different languages because we enjoyed and we were so happy to find out that we have a human spirit.
Amen.
And that God, as the Spirit, came into our spirit.
Amen.
Right? So we have this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Let's read it together. And the God of peace Himself sanctify you wholly, and may Spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope we never get tired of these three circles. I don't know how many people have been saved in restaurants with these three circles drawn on a napkin and we preach the gospel to them. I've led people to the Lord just on a scrap piece of paper, wherever I could get one. Draw the three circles God wants to get into your spirit. And they got saved. It is a marvelous, marvelous thing. We have a body to contact this physical universe. And we have a soul to contact all the psychological realm. We have a heart to love, right? We have an emotion. We have a heart that loves. We have an emotion to love people. And we have a will to choose. We make our own decisions. God doesn't force us to do anything. We have a will, a function of our soul. And we have a mind, not just our physical brain, but we have the capacity to understand and to think and to set our mind. We have a marvelous soul. But the bullseye for God is not that yet. It's our human spirit. And once we receive Him, once we ask Him to come in, He comes into our human spirit. And these two spirits then are mingled as one. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. This is a tremendous thing. This is a tremendous thing. Okay, brothers, that's good. You can take that off. Now, in this portion, in this book of Romans, which is a book on the organic, dynamic salvation of God in Christ, it not only presents to us a detailed definition and of God's dynamic salvation, but it also gives us the way that God takes to execute His dynamic salvation and to apply His dynamic salvation to us. And it gives us the way that we should take to receive, experience, and enjoy God's dynamic salvation. And these two ways are the two spirits. This is a marvelous thing. For God, right, to execute His dynamic salvation and to apply His dynamic salvation, He has to pass through a process. He created us with a body, a soul, and a spirit to get inside of us. But because man fell, He now has to solve that problem of sin before He can enter in. So He had to pass through a process. He had to become a man Himself in incarnation and live a human life on the earth, a perfect, sinless human life, and go to the cross and die, shed His blood for our sins, to cleanse us, to redeem us. And on the cross, all the negative things were dealt with there. The world was crucified. The old man was crucified. Satan was terminated. And then He went into the tomb for 3 days and resurrected. And in resurrection, He became the life-giving Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is now the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
And now, as the life-giving Spirit, He is able and available to enter into us. Of course, after resurrection, He ascended and was made Lord in Christ. And then, on the day of Pentecost, and then on the night of His resurrection, John 20:22, He came to the disciples in that closed room. And they were there, I think they were pretty afraid, they were scared. They just lost their leader, He'd been crucified. Peter was probably pretty depressed, he just denied the Lord, you know, 3 times before He was crucified. And they were in that upper room, they were praying there, and the Lord just appeared to them. No door open, He just came as the life-giving Spirit. And then, you know what He said to him, right? He said, He breathed into them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Think about this. This is God's intention to enter into man. And this is the first time that He has entered into man after 4,000 years of preparation. He waited a long time for that night. And after 4,000 years, He entered into man. I think the angels were rejoicing. It says, whenever someone is saved, the angels are rejoicing, right? There's the first time. He regenerated them that night. He entered into them after 4,000 years of waiting and preparing and passing through the whole process. This was His way to what? To execute God's dynamic salvation and to apply it to us. And on their side, on the apostles' side, the believers, the 120 that were there, they had a human spirit. And they received God into them that night. And of course, then on the day of Pentecost, many, many more, thousands more received the Lord. And this story, this event, this marvelous salvation has been happening over and over and over, person by person, day by day, year by year, until how many millions of Christians now are on the earth? Praise the Lord for this dynamic salvation. And it all is because of these two spirits. These two spirits are very crucial. All that God is, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, are now, have passed through the process and are consummated as the all-inclusive, compound, indwelling, life-giving Spirit in our spirit. And we, our spirit, and this compound, all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit are joined together as one mingled spirit. And this is the secret of God's organic salvation. The way for us to experience regeneration, sanctification, transformation, confirmation, glorification, all the aspects of God's salvation, His dynamic salvation, is by our human spirit. We never graduate from this. It's basic. It is basic. But we never graduate from this. It is, I don't know, to me, it's a real miracle that we can actually contact God any time of the day. We can receive more of God any time of the day, no matter what we're going through, no matter how bad a day we're having. How many of you have had a bad day this week? I've had a bad day this week. But even in the middle of our bad day, we can turn to the Lord.
Amen.
We can come to His Word. We can call our companions. I'm having a bad day. Me too, let's pray. And we can pray together. We can experience God's dynamic salvation. Why? Because we have a human spirit. Never despise your human spirit. And I think as we preach the gospel to our friends and our classmates and our co-workers, don't neglect this. You know that the mystery of human life, that little booklet, I wanted to bring one up here, but I forgot this morning. It has those three circles in it, in that first key. And I've led, I don't know how many people to the Lord using that little booklet, that gospel tract, The Mystery of Human Life. It's just very clear. We're not filled with the things of this world. We're not satisfied. Everyone has that experience. Why? Because you have a human spirit made for God. Amen. And you need Him to come and fill your spirit. And people just, okay. And they want to receive the Lord. Then we have to help them to enjoy the Lord day by day. How? By exercising, turning to their spirit, exercising their spirit, setting their mind on the Spirit. Eventually, we need to be those who are walking according to the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. All of these are very precious experiences that we need to be having in order to experience God's dynamic salvation. Okay. Amen. Now, I just want to go through a few of the verses with you. I'll try to end a little earlier so we can have our prophesying time and still give time to the sixth graders. Okay, can we come to Romans 8, 9 through 11 real quick? And let's read these three verses together. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Yet if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of Him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit. This phrase in verse 10, Christ in you, is the most crucial point in this chapter. Maybe in the whole book of Romans. Christ in you. And there are three hymns that I was considering this week about this. The first one we sang this morning, hymn 507, right? Christ liveth in me, Christ liveth in me. What a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. You know, I was growing up, I got saved as a young person, well, as a child actually, about 9 years old. And all I knew about God's salvation was that I was saved from the lake of fire, which was true. Praise the Lord for that. But I had no idea, no realization that I had a person living in me, that Christ lived in me. This is the real salvation of God. Yes, we are cleansed of our sins. We're redeemed. And we will not spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's a marvelous, marvelous fact. But the real salvation is a person. The real salvation is that Christ is living in you. When I came to the church life, a brother used to refer to the old way I thought about salvation, you know, about not going to the lake of fire, as fire insurance. We have fire insurance. Now we're saved. We have fire insurance. We're not going to burn. Praise the Lord for that. But you know, fire insurance is when you have a fire. And I don't know how many of us are ever going to have our house burned down, but we all have fire insurance, you know. What about today? What about salvation today? Today, we need to be saved from ourselves, from our temper, from our, right? Even from sin still. And how has that happened? It's not about the future. It's we need to be saved today. And Romans 5:10 says, because of His death we have been reconciled, but now, much more, we will be saved. That's today in His life. And this verse is talking about that. And this hymn is talking about that. Our salvation is Christ living in us. Then another hymn is, we have a lot of hymns with this point, is 499, which is one of Brother Lee's hymns. And this verse says, "Oh, what a life, oh, what a peace, the Christ who's all within me lives." This is the life. This is the peace. Christ lives in us. Amen. He is one with us. Verse 2 says, "Christ now is being formed in me." And then verse 3, "Christ shall in me be magnified." We need to express Him. And then, "Christ is the goal toward which I press." 501 has a similar kind of phrase. The chorus says, "O Christ, the expression of God the great, inexhaustible, rich and sweet, God mingled with humanity lives in me, my all to be." We can experience Him moment by moment, day by day. And then, this morning I was singing this hymn, I enjoy this very much, 1191. "From my spirit within flows a fountain of life, the triune God flowing in me." This is a very sweet hymn, right? Do you all know that hymn? "From my spirit within flows a fountain of life, the triune God flowing in me. God the Father's the source, Christ the Son is the course, and the Spirit imparts life to me. Lord, I treasure the sweet flow of life, and my soul life at last I lay down. O Lord, deep in the sweet flow of life, at your coming may life be my crown." It's so sweet that Christ is living in us. The triune God is living in us. He is one spirit with us. This is a marvelous, marvelous fact. We are being saved in His life. Now, let's come to Romans 8:15. And let's read that together. "For you have not received a spirit of slavery, bringing you into fear again, but you have received a spirit of sonship, in which we cry, Abba." And we enjoyed that hymn at the Lord's table, "Abba, Father." We have a spirit of sonship. This means that we have a spirit. That sonship is the reality of being a son. So the spirit of sonship is that this spirit of reality is now in us. And it gives us the reality of being in the divine sonship. We have a spirit of sonship. And Romans 8:23 tells us, do we have that? Yeah, let's read that. With this spirit of sonship, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, this is very sweet. That means we have a foretaste of the full taste to come. You know, in agriculture, if you have an orchard, of course, New York State, we have a lot of apples in this state. If you have an apple orchard, there are first fruits. There are some trees in that orchard that ripen early and some apples that ripen early. And it's not enough to harvest the whole orchard yet. But those few apples, that basket of apples, goes into the farmer's house for him and his family to enjoy as the first fruits. And we have the first fruits of the Spirit in our spirit. Amen. What you enjoy today, "Lord, I treasure this sweet flow of life," is the same enjoyment we will have in eternity. Only at that time, it will be much greater. I believe that sweet flow of life will carry us away as a river, right? That will be much more. But the taste is still the same. You have the taste of life, the first fruits. I don't know, you know, what your experience is, but when my mother would bake a cake, before she would, you know, she would put it in the oven, and then the bowl is there that she used to mix the thing. Did you ever, you know, go around? What are you doing? Shut up! Stop that! There's raw egg in there. My mother thought raw egg is bad for you. I don't think it's bad anyway. But I wanted a foretaste. I want to know what kind of cake it was. What flavor is it? What does it taste like? We have a foretaste today.
Amen.
This foretaste is also a guarantee that is the triune God we will enjoy for eternity. The triune God we enjoy today is the same. The foretaste and the guarantee. Then let's go to 8:26. Let's read 26 together. Moreover, in like manner, the Spirit also joins in to help us in our weakness. For we do not know for what we should pray as is fitting. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings. This Spirit of life that is now in our spirit helps us. Helps us to intercede for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, for many things, we know how to pray. If you're trying to get into college, you're praying for the school, and you know. Or if you're trying to get a job, you're praying for this interview, you're praying for specific things, you know how to pray. But related to our growth in life, related to our experience of God's salvation, sometimes we just don't know how to pray. And that's okay. This is when we need the Spirit to help us in our weakness with groanings which cannot be uttered. Just to come to the Lord and cry out to Him, call on Him, contact Him with our spirit. And what we get what we need. We get more of the Lord. Just spend some time. And we don't know often how. But this is a very precious function of the Spirit of life in our spirit, that He helps us and He is interceding for us. We should never forget this. He is always interceding for us. Always. Whatever we're going through. We may not sense it. We may not remember it. But He is interceding. And He helps us. And He joins with us. When we are groaning, we don't know how to pray, He comes and helps and joins in to pray what is fitting as He intercedes for us. Okay, now I just want to end with a couple of things here. This, in this chapter and in this portion, you know, in verse 2, do we have Romans 8, 2? I think we do. You have this phrase, the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life. And this is related to the divine Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life. Now it's mingled with our spirit, of course, and it frees us. But this law of the Spirit of life does a fourfold work on us. Number one, it frees us from the law of sin and death. It liberates us. God is the liberating Spirit. And we need to be freed. We cannot free ourselves. When sin comes, temptation comes, we saw this in Romans 7. What you want to do, you can't do. What you don't want to do, you end up doing. We need to be freed. And we have the freeing Spirit, the liberating Spirit. Also, this Spirit delivers us. Now, we don't have the verse here, the verses on delivering, but if you go into your concordance, there are many times Paul says, He delivered us and still will deliver us. He delivers us from many things, not necessarily. This freedom and this liberation is from the law of sin and death. But His delivering us is from many aspects of the fall. Our attitude, our thoughts, many things. Motives, our feelings, we need to be delivered from them. And this Spirit delivers us from these aspects of the fall. Third, this Spirit sanctifies us. Can we read Romans 6, 19? Do we have 19? I think we have 19, yeah. Yeah, let's read this. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to uncleanness and lawlessness unto lawlessness, so now present your members unto righteousness, unto sanctification. This Spirit sanctifying us. In Romans 12:2, I think we have that verse. Yeah, let's read that one. And do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, well-pleasing, and Ephesians 5:26 and 7. That he might sanctify her, the church to himself glorious, not having, but that she should be holy and without. This is a major aspect of God's dynamic salvation. After we are regenerated, we must be sanctified. Not only separated positionally, but made holy from within, dispositionally. We need to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And this Spirit of life, is the sanctifying Spirit. He is doing this work in us. If we will turn to Him and enjoy Him spontaneously, automatically, He is adding Himself to us. And He is the Holy One. He is the Sanctified One. And He is sanctifying us from within. We just need to turn and cooperate with Him. And His sanctifying work goes on. Eventually, this Spirit of life glorifies us. That's the end of this chapter, verse 30. He is going to bring us all the way to glory. Now, the last point, before I mention Andrew's Monday night point, is this. Romans 12:11. I don't think we have that. Romans 12:11 says, do not be slothful in zeal, but be burning in spirit. Burning in spirit. This is a very precious point for our experience. We have a spirit of sonship, and we need to be exercised to let this spirit burn, to fan into flame the gift of God, to be burning in spirit. And for this, we must be, this matter of being burning in spirit requires that we live in the presence of the Lord. Or maybe I should say, requires that we pray to stay in the presence of the Lord. And set our mind on the Spirit. And walk according to the Spirit. This is Romans 8:4, Romans 8:6. That will keep our spirit burning. And Romans 14, which we'll come to later, maybe next month, talks about the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Spirit. We should be joyful. Amen. If we're praying to stay in the presence of the Lord and setting our mind on the Spirit and walking by the Spirit in our daily life, we will be joyful.
Amen.
I've heard many testimonies from you, your co-workers. There's something happening on the job. Recently I heard this, that many people who are working for the public sector, they have very good jobs with the public sector. They're doing a good job for the city or for the state. But now there's this new thing. You have to take the civil service exam that meets your station or your plateau, wherever you are. And I've heard many of the co-workers of the saints are like, they're shaking because they didn't take the civil service exam for that portion. And if they don't pass it, they could lose their jobs. They could lose their positions. Oh, Lord Jesus. That would be terrible, right? But they see you. They're shaking. They see you. You may be in the same position, in the same boat, right? But you're joyful. And they can't understand why. Why are you so happy? We might get fired tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Now, listen, you can't manufacture that. You may say praise the Lord, but if you're not in the joy of the Lord, your praise the Lord, I think, is going to fall a little flat. We have to be joyful. And the more joyful we are, the more, actually, that is just the gospel goes out. Why are you so happy? Because Jesus loves me and He loves you too. I'm happy because He lives in me and He can live in you too. We can use this to preach the gospel. So this is what how we can apply this in our daily living. Turn to our spirit. Pray to stay in our spirit. Set our mind on the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. And we will be full of joy and burning in spirit. And then to end with Andrew's last word. He strengthened Brother Wu's fellowship by saying that at the end, the last book of the Bible in Revelation, maybe I just have to back up a bit. He said, there are, in God's complete, in God's Christ, the full salvation of Christ, there are stages. Stage of incarnation, that's the Gospels. The stage of inclusion, that's the Epistles. And the stage of intensification, that's the book of Revelation. And he likened our history to that in the Lord's recovery. The beginning was incarnation, calling not being as being. The middle section of the Lord's recovery is we are included. We are in the Epistles. We have Christ living in us, and we're growing in Christ. But now, this period of the Lord's recovery that we are in right now is the age of intensification. The age of intensification actually began at the end of the first century when the church became degraded. The Apostle John was asked to write these seven epistles to the churches, and the Lord called out of every church the overcomers. And what impressed me was, in his call to the overcomers, he didn't ask them to do something different or to have something new. He just reminded them, hold fast to what you have. Keep what you have. You have a little power. He just mentioned to them these things. A few things. I put no further burden on you. Just hold fast what you have till I come. And Ephesus had lost their first love. He just said, just go back and get your first love. Go back to the first love. Right? And to Sardis, remember what you have received and heard and keep it and repent. To Philadelphia, you've kept the word of my endurance. Now just stay there. Keep that word. Right? Keep my word. Don't deny my name. We don't have to have anything new, brothers and sisters. We just need to be intensified. Amen. The spirit we have in our spirit is the sevenfold intensified spirit. Amen. I used to think that was for the future. It's not for the future. It's for right now. Amen. We need to be intensified in our spirit and enjoy the Lord more in our spirit. And from there, we will experience God's dynamic and complete salvation. Amen. Now, we have a couple of announcements. Then maybe we can sing the chorus of 507. We'll stay together for the prophesying. And then at 12:20 or so, the sixth graders will come to testify. And then we will go down to witness their baptism. The announcements are these. Many of you know Luke and Patience Kung. They were here in the church life for many, many years. And in the last decade or so have been in New Jersey. Brother Luke has gone to be with the Lord this past week, and the funeral arrangements and the details are on the bulletin board. This Saturday in the church in Franklin, there will be a memorial meeting for our brother. And Friday there also is some viewing time. So if you would like to pay your respects, then you can do that. Also, we'd like to let you know that we are coming up on the Spring Young People's Conference, and we will be expecting about 300 from out of town. So we need to sign up for the blessing of hospitality. Amen. For the blessing of hospitality.
Amen.
Oh, it's still not a very strong amen. For the blessing of hospitality.
Amen.
So if you would like to sign up, there are some sheets on the counter, or you can come to Brother Frank or Brother Juan, or let us know how many you'd like to take, and we'll add another six or seven. No, we'll try to see if we can increase it a little bit, but we need to give hospitality to these dear young people for that weekend, okay? So let's sing the chorus of 507, Christ liveth in me, two times, and then we can have our time of prophesying.